Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Flashlight Readers Club. So you would have heard me go through the book The Talented Clementine, chapters 1 to 3 in the first recording. This is the second recording, and we'll have from chapter 4 and on. So let's get started. Chapter 4. Wednesday morning, Margaret's teacher came into our classroom right after the pledge to visit with my teacher. This is because the fourth graders are supposed to be responsible enough to be left alone for a few minutes. I don't think this is a very hot idea. I know Margaret and I never leave her in my room alone. But I was glad. Margaret's teacher wears her hair swirled up like a tornado. I think if a bobby pin ever came shooting out of it, it would look like lightning. I like watching for that. I am going to be the director of our talent show, Margaret's teacher said. Each morning we'll have a little trial run of a couple acts. That way everything will run smoothly on the big night. My teacher made a face at Margaret's teacher. It meant that they didn't believe that for a minute, but they had to say it anyway. Who would like to go first today? All the kids raised their hands except for me. So my teacher started with the first row. My act is called Cartwheel Extravaganza, said Maria. She went up to the front of the classroom and did a cartwheel into the chalkboard. We were all surprised to learn that a chalkboard that big wouldn't flatten a kid when it fell off of the wall. Are you all right? My teacher asked, lifting it off of her. Oh, sure, said Maria. I always do that. Well, just in case, why don't you go visit the nurse? And we'll make sure there are no chalkboards on the stage Saturday night. Then he called on the next kid. Whose name is Morris? Or Boris, I always forget. My act is called Cartwheel Whammo-Rama, Morris Boris said. He jumped out of his seat. Wait, no, my teacher cried, throwing his arms around the fish tank. But it was too late. Morris Boris cartwheeled to the front of the room, where he didn't knock over the fish tank, thank goodness. Only the hamster cage. Zippy and Mump looked pretty surprised to be out on the floor like that. They let Morris Boris scoop them right up. Thank you, Norris, my teacher said. Are you all right? Oh, I wrote a big N on my arm so I wouldn't forget. We'll make sure there are no hamster cages on the stage either. And just to be on the safe side, why don't you go visit the nurse too? I don't know why my teacher bothered with sending Maria and Norris to the nurse. All she ever does when you go in there and tell her how sick you are is roll her eyes. She always looks bored, as if she's just trying to kill time until a really good disease hits the school. Maria and Norris could have head lumps the size of toasters, and all our nurse would do is hand them a frozen sponge. Now, my teacher was saying, does anyone have an act that isn't cartwheeling? Half the kids put their hands down. My teacher called on a boy named Joe and asked him what his act was. Secretly, I was hoping it was cartwheeling anyway. Joe is really short, and he has really short everything. Really short name, really short hair, really short ears. He has a really short arms and legs, too. So if he did a cartwheel, I bet it would look like a starfish rolling across the floor. And I would like to see that. But nope. Joe took a harmonica from his pocket. I'm going to play this, and my dog Buddy is going to sing. Your dog? My teacher asked. Your dog sings? Joe went over to the window and whistled. His big brown dog, who waits all day on the playground for him, ran over. He jumped up and put his paws on the window ledge. Then Joe blew into his harmonica. Buddy threw his big brown head back and closed his eyes and howled. See, said Joe, Buddy loves my harmonica playing. Well, I don't know, my teacher started. Then Margaret's teacher came over and wrote something in her notebook and showed it to my teacher. I guess it was, at least it's not cartwheels, because then my teacher said, okay, two rules. First, Buddy has to be on a leash, and second, if he has an accident on stage, you have to clean it up. Joe said okay, and then my teacher said, that's enough for one day, time for social studies, which was lucky because I was the next person in the row. But I couldn't stop thinking about not having an act to do. My teacher had to say six, Clementine, you need to pay attentions, which is a lot, even for me. By the time the bus came, I was so tired from worrying that my neck felt too weak to hold up my head. I flopped over in the seat. What's the matter? Margaret asked me. Are you sick? I might be, I said. Well, I hope you're not too sick to come to the talent show Saturday night. You'd miss my act, which would be a shame, because you could really use it. perked up a little bit. What do you mean? What's your act? The name of it is Dressing Fashionably, Margaret said. That's not an act. It is, too, and it's something I'm very talented at, and certain people are not. Margaret pointed her eyes at me at the certain people part. What about all your other talents? What about gymnastics and singing and playing the accordion? Oh, a lot of kids can do those things. Dressing fashionably is a very special talent. And besides, my act will be helpful to certain people. She arrow-eyed me at the certain people part again. But I didn't care, because I thought of something. Can I have one of your extra talents, then? I asked her. One of the ones you're not going to do. Margaret squinted at me. Can you show me how to do one? As long as you're not going to be performing it. Margaret thought for a minute. Then she said, well, okay, I guess we can try. Come over tomorrow after school. Chapter 5. Finally, Thursday after school came. We'll go through my talents alphabetically, said Margaret. She went to a shelf and pulled down her accordion. She looked at my hands, and she looked back at the keys. She put the accordion back. Fingerprints, she said. Then she handed me her baton, which I dropped. Baton twirling's out. How about clarinet? I asked. Margaret shook her head. Spit. D is for dramatic acting class, she told me. Pretend you've just heard some surprising news. I clapped my hands to the side of my face, and my mouth made a capital O. Dramatic acting's out too, Margaret decided. E was for riding English, and Margaret said I needed a horse for that. F was for fencing, and she said I wasn't mature enough to touch her sword. I was losing hope. But finally, when she got to T, she brightened up. Tap dancing! Tap dancing's easy, I asked. Oh no, she said. Tap dancing is really hard. But maybe you could fake it. Maybe you could just kind of clump around in tap shoes, making a lot of noise. I can clump around, I agreed. So I just need some tap shoes. You can wear my old ones, Margaret said. Then she took me to her closet, which looks like a clothing store. Everything is all folded perfectly and hung up in neat lines. In Margaret's closet, you expect to see signs saying, big sale on sweaters, or new fashion arrivals. There was a whole wall of cubbies just for shoes, and every pair was in its own plastic bag. I pointed to the bags. How come? Germs. Margaret shuddered and made a face like she just swallowed a toad. In or out? I asked. In or out what? The germs. Are you keeping them in or out? Margaret glared at me as if this question was too dumb to bother with, but I don't think she knew the answer. She picked out a bag and gave it to me, then stopped. Have you washed your hands? You have to wash your hands. She pointed to the bathroom. I went into her bathroom, which is hers alone, and she doesn't even have to share it with a brother like I do. Margaret's bathroom looks like a bathroom store. Okay, fine, I've never seen a bathroom store, but it would probably look just like this, except it would have price tags on the faucet, and the soap, and the toilet paper. I looked at my hands. They looked really good to me. Plus, they felt just right. Not too slippery, not too sticky. And best of all, they smelled perfect. Like a mixture of my new drawing pencils and grape bubblegum. It's hard to get your hands to smell perfect like that. So I only pretended to wash them. I have invented a good way to do this. First, you run the water. Then you hold the soap under the faucet so it gets wet. Then put it back. Then you get the towel, and here is the tricky part. You can't get it too wet, but you can't leave it too dry. So what I invented is this. Dab the towel into the wet sink just a little bit, then hang it back up, but rumpled this time. I did all of this, then I walked back into Margaret's room and took off my shoes. Margaret's eyes grew so big, I thought they were going to spring out like stalks, like cartoon eyes. Clementine, she gasped. Your feet are huge! Shh! I hushed her in case Mitchell was hanging around listening to us. Margaret put her foot next to mine. Well, they're as big as mine now. These aren't going to fit, she warned me. I tried to fit my feet into Margaret's old tap shoes anyway, but it was no use. I felt very empathetic about Cinderella's stepsisters. I was so sad I flopped down on Margaret's bed before I remembered the rule about that. Wrinkles! Margaret screamed. She ran over and pushed me off of the bed, then smoothed the bedspread, which had poodles wearing hats on it. So I sat on her chair to be sad there instead. I studied the bottoms of Margaret's tap shoes. If I nailed something tappy into the bottom of my sneakers, that would work, wouldn't it? I just need to make the sound, don't I? Well, said Margaret, I guess. I'll be right back. Then I took the elevator all the way down to B for basement, because I knew exactly what would make that tappy sound. Once a month, all the people who own condominiums in our building get together to argue about what things they need to buy for the building and who should pay how much. They drink beer at these meetings. My dad says this is not such a hot idea because then they forget what they decided. But he's only the manager of the building, so he can't tell them what to do. He just lets them keep the beer in the basement. And all those beers came in bottles, with bottle caps. I got a pair of pliers from the workbench. Let me tell you, is N-O-T not easy to get 24 bottle caps off with a pair of pliers. But I finally did it. Luckily, most of the beer that had spilled soaked into my clothes, so I only had to mop up a small puddle. Then I went back to the workbench. I got out my dad's building manager strength super glue and glued all the bottle caps to the soles of my sneakers. All the while, I kept smiling whenever I thought about how happy everyone would be next week at the meeting because their bottles had already been opened. When I was done, I put my sneakers on and a good surprise happened. It was hard to walk, but when I did, I sounded exactly like a person tap dancing. I pushed the elevator button for the fifth floor so I could show Margaret. The elevator stopped at the lobby floor and Margaret's mother and Alan got in. Alan is Margaret's mother's boyfriend. Margaret and Mitchell are not so happy about this because Alan kisses Margaret's mother in public. Margaret and Mitchell think there should be a rule about grown-ups kissing in public if any of them are your parents. This is the only thing they have ever agreed on in their entire lives. "Hi there, Tangerine," Alan said. Alan thinks he is funny. I do not. Alan sniffed the air as if he were smelling something weird. Then he bent over and sniffed me. What the? Margaret's mother bent over and sniffed me, too. Beer, she said. She reached out and stabbed the stop elevator button. Then she punched the button for my floor. I think we need to pay a little visit to your parents, Clementine. Chapter 6. My mother opened the door, and Margaret's mother handed me over. Oh, thank you so much, Susan, my mother said, as if it was a wonderful surprise. Then she closed the door. While I was explaining, she did so many, Clementine, what were you thinkings? That I finally stopped counting. Then my dad came in and she told him about it, except she couldn't finish her sentences. All 24 condo association meeting, glued on them, spilled all over, smells like beer. Somehow my dad understood, and then I had to listen to all his, Clementine, what were you thinkings too? And besides all that, my mother said when he was done, her sneakers are ruined. Let me have them, my dad said. Maybe I can get those bottle caps off. No, Dad, I cried. I need them for my act. I'm tap dancing at the talent show. Too late. My dad left, but I was in luck. A few minutes later, he came back holding my sneakers with the bottle caps still on. They wouldn't come off, my mother asked. Not in this lifetime, my father answered. Are you saying? My mother began. Then they stared at each other, and they both said, not me, at the same time. I took her last month, said my mom. I won't do it this time, I told them. I'll be like a normal person. My mother and father just looked at me as if I'd spoken in Martian, which I am going to learn. Then they turned back to each other. I really think I should stay here, said my dad. What if the elevator breaks and I have to call the repair service? But what if someone needs a drawing really, really fast? An emergency piece of art, my mother tried. No, I'd better stay home. If you take her, I'll make dinner every night for a week, my father offered. I'll make dinner every night for 2 weeks, said my mother, and do the dishes. My parents always tried to bribe each other into taking me shopping, which I do not think is funny. But, okay, fine, I take a really, really long time in stores. My parents think I have a hard time choosing things, but that's not it. I can choose things just fine. The problem is, whenever you choose something, that means you have to not choose about 100 other things, which is not so easy. Like in a candy store, if you choose peanut butter cups, you have to not choose red licorice and M&Ms and Starburst and bubblegum and Tootsie Rolls and gummy worms and pixie sticks. And no matter what you pick, as soon as you take the first bite, you suddenly know you wanted the other ones. Still, this time I could try. Today, I promised my parents, I'll be really quick. My parents just made faces that said, we've heard that joke before. Then my mom sent me to my room to change into dry overalls. When I got back, they were still at it. I will make dinner and do the dishes for 3 weeks, said my father. A month, said my mother. I flopped down on the couch to wait. When they got going like this, it could take a while. Finally, my father took all of the money out of his wallet and held it out to my mother. If you take her, you could buy a pair of shoes too. My treat. My mother said, well, and I could see she was thinking about it. And then my father said, plus, I'll take you out to dinner so you can wear them. My mother reached towards the money and then stopped. We're not talking pizza or hamburgers, right? Absolutely not, promised my dad. We're talking a tablecloth and candles kind of place. It might even be the Ritz, my mother warned him. The Ritz is the fanciest restaurant in Boston. It is very expensive, probably because it costs a lot to make all those crackers. A deal, my dad said. My parents smiled at each other, and then they kissed. And here is a secret thing that I never tell Margaret or Mitchell. I like when my parents kiss, even in public. On the way to the shoe store, whenever we slowed down a little bit, people on the sidewalk would sniff at me and wrinkle their noses. It's not what you think, my mother would say every time. Then she made me walk even faster, which is not easy when you have 24 bottle caps on the soles of your shoes. When we got into the store, right away I saw a great pair of bright green sneakers in the front window. I ran in and climbed up to get them. My mother grabbed me by my overalls and pulled me back. That's the display window, Clementine. We need to find a salesman. And you will not believe how lucky I was, because right then I found one. He came running up behind me. May I show you something? He asked with a nervous look on his face. I pointed to the green sneakers and my mother said, size 3.5. Wonderful, said the salesman. That's the line from our new popsicle line. It also comes in... No! My mother tried to stop him. That's fine. Please don't tell us the other... Too late. Lemon, orange, coconut, grape, blueberry, mango, and pink grapefruit. Very popular. My mother threw her hands up and then sank into the chair. Bring them all, she said. Bring them in size 4, too. We're going to be here for a long time. The salesman went away. He came back with a big stack of boxes. He opened them up and laid them out. All the pairs in front of me in a big sneaker rainbow. Then he sniffed. He looked at my mother as if he couldn't believe what his nose just told him. It's not what you think, my mother slumped back in her chair and sighed. Oh, heck, maybe it is what you think. I tried on all the popsicles, sneakers. The salesman asked me if I had to test out each color, if I really had to test out each color by running across the store, climbing onto a chair, and then jumping off. I guess he was new. Blueberry was the zoomiest, and pink grapefruit was the bounciest, so I put on one of each and tried them out together. It was perfect, and it looked wonderful too, but the salesman said, I don't think so. And I didn't even care, because right then I saw the most beautiful pair of shoes in the world. On a shelf near the display window, purple with tall, skinny, high heels, and a sparkly green dragonfly at the toes. I pointed to them, how about... And before I could finish, both the salesman and my mom said, I don't think so, at the same time. Okay, fine, I said. What other kinds of shoes do you have in this store? I can't watch this, said my mother. Just make sure she chooses something sensible. She got up and whispered to the salesman. Then she went over to the grown-up shoes and started shopping. As soon as she was gone, I asked the salesman if he had a tattoo. You can never tell which adults are going to have one. No, said the salesman. Do you? Not yet, I said. Pretty soon. Then he left to go get some more shoes for me, and you would not believe how many pairs of shoes were in that store. My feet were exhausted from all the trying on, and my head hurt from all the not choosing I was thinking about. Finally, the salesman held up a pair of striped basketball sneakers. This is it, he said. These are the last shoes we've got. When he was lacing them up for me, I saw something amazing. Hey, did you know that you have a circle right at the top of your head where there's no hair? I asked him. Yes, he said. I am aware of that. Thank you. Did you know that you smell like a brewery? Yes, I said. I am aware of that. Thank you. And I'll take the lime popsicle sneakers. The salesman sighed. I know that, too, he said. They're already in a bag at the checkout counter. Your mother told me you'd end up picking them. Then I went up to the register where my mother was waiting. I made my mouth into a ruler line because I was so mad at her for not knowing what I was going, to do before I did. I was never going to speak to her again. Want to see what I bought? My mother asked. I kept my mouth a ruler line, but I nodded and opened up her bag. And then I didn't care about being mad. Wow, I said. Exactly, she said. Wow. We stopped and just stared at these purple wow shoes. The heels looked even taller and skinnier, and the dragonflies sparkled in the sun like emeralds. They were so beautiful that I was suddenly cured of being afraid of pointy things. "Not very sensible," I said. "No, definitely not very sensible," my mom agreed. "In fact, they're probably the least sensible shoes in the store. One of the benefits of being a grown-up." "Can I try them on?" "Sure," she said. Then she leaned over and gave me a huge, smiling hug, even though I smelled like brewery. After you've had a bath. And that's it for the chapters we're going to be reading tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed, and join us next week for chapter 7 and on.